In divine timing, we are getting ready to host a class, a free event called Mend Your Money Stories, Conjure Abundance. And it's in celebration of the Conjuring Abundance unit of our Holistic Witchery program that will kick off soon. And coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, I am recording this under a Taurus new moon where we've got Jupiter, Uranus, Venus, the sun, and the moon all in Taurus. So this like lovely, stable, radiant energy with a little twist of Uranus in there to rock everything sideways and kind of destabilize some of that Taurus energy. And right at the same time, I have been self-employed now for 10 years. So in today's episode, thinking of this money and abundance and what it means to fully show up as yourself in this world and all this Taurus energy, I'm going to share with you 10 things that I have learned from 10 years of doing that wild thing of going on my own. If the word witch makes you feel full of power and excitement, if you love personal development but loathe boring love and light conversation, if a sexy combo of witchery and inner work piques your interest, you're in the right place. Welcome home, Magic Maker, and welcome to Expedition to Soul, the podcast brought to you by the Sisters Enchanted. Welcome back, everybody, to the Expedition to Soul podcast. Excited to share this one with you today. We do have our free Mend Your Money Stories event coming up. So if you're not registered for that, be sure to get registered. We'll have the link and, you know, all the link type places. But how wild is it? I mean, maybe it's not wild for you, but it's certainly wild for me to know that I've been self-employed for 10 years. So the Sisters Enchanted is 8 years old. And for 2 years before the Sisters Enchanted, I ran a different business. And then for 1 year, the first year of the Sisters Enchanted, I ran both. So there was 3 years of the other business, 8 years of TSE, a little overlap, 10 years altogether self-employed. And I have learned a lot of lessons that apply to everybody. So wherever age stage you are at, whether you work or you're retired or you're, you know, a stay-at-home person or whatever your thing is, I have 10 things I've learned that, again, apply to everybody. Now, for those of you who don't know my story, I won't tell the whole story today because it's a long one, but I also, my first kid will be 10 in just 2 months and my other will be 7 in 2 days. So if you do that math, 2 businesses, 2 kids in 10 years, and it has been a wild, wild ride. And if anything has proved to me that I can do anything I put my mind to, it's these last 10 years. And definitely no rest for the wicked, as they say. And I've learned quite a bit on this journey. So I'm going to jump in. Let me go ahead and share some of these with you. In no particular, actually the 10th one, you're going to want to listen in for the 10th one. That's my juiciest one. And it's the one that's going to hit you the hardest. But outside of number 10, the rest of them are in no particular order. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. Number one thing that I have learned in 10 years of self-employment is around rejection and feedback. And what does this have to do with abundance and your ability to receive abundance and money or just like this feeling of worthiness in your life? Listen, if you put yourself out there in the world, somebody is going to say something to you that feels a lot like rejection. Somebody is going to have feedback for you that's unpleasant, maybe helpful, maybe not helpful. Here is what I learned about rejection and receiving feedback. Is one, to understand that if somebody is giving you rejection type words or feedback when you didn't ask for it, then that says something about that person and their desire to be validated and heard in a feeling that they are having. And also, when it comes to your energy and how your energy shrinks or expands in accordance to what other people are saying to you, it's okay to just say, I didn't ask for feedback on this. Period. End of sentence. I didn't ask for feedback on this. Or when I will ask for feedback at this point in time. Period. End of sentence. And I bring this up because I really did learn this over these last 10 years. Earlier in life, if somebody came to me and was like, oh, I don't like the way you did this. I think you should change this. Or I felt rejected or somebody said no to me about something that I'd put myself out there for. I would definitely have internalized it and felt like it meant something about me. And then in that way, I would make decisions based on that feeling, based on that knowing, right? And what I've learned in the last 10 years is that people will want to say stuff to you to be like validated in their opinion or validated in what they think. And it doesn't have to be wrong or not useful for you to not want to accept it, right? So it could be helpful, but if you're just not in the place where you're currently accepting feedback on whatever it is you're doing in life, it's okay to not accept the feedback. And that was like a really big learning lesson for me to be able to say, oh, I'm not open to feedback on this right now. So move along, like delete email, end conversation, pivot conversation, right? So that was one of the lessons, because when you internalize unsolicited feedback and rejection as meaning something about you, when it was unsolicited, then that will make you change your course of action without even realizing that you're doing it and without really being able to receive the feedback because you weren't in the mindset or the position to receive it to begin with. So that's one thing I learned. Thing number two, money is truly limitless. It truly is, which can be wild to say. And some of you are listening to this and you're going to be like, I want to end this right now because I'm broke as a joke. Money is not limitless. Listen, I have been there. I've been thousands of dollars in credit card debt, thousands of dollars in medical debt, credit card again. I've had hard years with TSE. One of my hardest years was a big learning lesson for me. I was really paying everybody else first and like overpaying for some things and not paying myself. And so for 1 year of my husband being a stay-at-home dad, I supported our family on a very low wage. And I did have to take out a personal loan to help float through. And I really quick had to learn my lesson, write the course, and pay myself back so I could pay off that loan and not make that mistake again. So I have been there in these positions where you're like, listen, money is not limitless. Truly, I'm here to tell you it is. There is always money to be received, money to take in, money to find. There are resources available to you. Where we get stuck is in overextending our energy such that we feel like we have no options, and then we can't see the options, or we don't trust the options, or truly we don't have the mental, physical, energetic capacity to take action on the options because we're so fucking worn out from feeling like there are no options. So money really is limitless. And it took me 10 years of self-employment to figure that out. Now, that does not mean that I have limitless cash in the bank. That's not true. And that's not what I'm saying. I take a paycheck. I have a certain amount of money. But when we focus our energy on like this feeling that it will never get better, it does something to our physical and our energetic beings where we can't find the next way forward. We can't bring the energy to the table of places where we can earn money to earn more and receive more because we're so down and out. So to tap into that limitless money and refill your coffers, we've got to change our mindset on that and get out of the energy of like just everything sucks, it's hard, and there's not enough there, right? So money is truly limitless. That's lesson number two. Lesson number three, this was a big one for me. They're all big ones. That's why I'm sharing them. Lesson three, you cannot take somebody where they don't want to go or where they're not ready to go. You might see for somebody in your life, like the clearest day road for them, the clearest day vision. Like, I know you have the capacity and the bandwidth and the energy and the brains and the brawn and whatever to do this thing. Like, you might see it for them so clearly. If they don't want to take action on that, if they don't want to go down that road, or if they're just not ready for it, there is nothing you can do to get them there. And that was a really hard lesson for me. They're all hard lessons. That one, though, was really hard. For me, I've seen it with clients. I've seen it with coworkers. I've seen it with family members where I'm like, but if only, like, you have this amazing ability. You're like, listen to what you're saying. Get out of your own way. You cannot get somebody out of their own way. So unless, again, this brings us to this feedback, unless they're asking you, give me feedback on this. Help me see myself out of my own way. You know, Don't waste your energy because you can't force somebody out of their own way. And again, what that will do is put you into a frustrated, resentful energy, which then cuts off your ability to receive and expand and feel abundant in your own life. So that's lesson number three. You can't take someone where they're not ready to go yet. You just can't. All right, lesson number four. Don't take advice from people who aren't playing your game. I also say this as you don't get a seat at my table unless you're helping me build my table. That's another way you'll hear me say that. So I don't take advice from people who aren't playing my game, and I don't let people have a seat at my table who aren't helping build the table. What does that mean in regular language and not weird metaphors and phrases I'm spinning? People love to give advice. It kind of goes in line with that feedback bit. But they love to tell you what you should do, what they think you should do, what they've done in the past without asking, do you want advice? And when it comes to your money, when it comes to trying new things, taking risks, applying for new jobs, painting your living room, like anything whatsoever, going on a solo trip by yourself, people will start talking. They will start speaking up to you and they will start giving you their opinion that you might not have asked for. So when you remind yourself, this is my game that I'm playing. You're not in the game. You're not helping pay my bills. You're not taking me on the trip. You're not painting my living room. You're not building my business. You're not leading whatever, like my team at work. You're not there. Remind yourself that if somebody is not actively in it with you, you have full rights to just shut the door on that advice and that opinion because they're not there. They don't have the level of investment in this thing that you do. So unless you've asked for the advice or you've asked for input, I have a very clear, hard boundary on this in my life with everybody. And it was a hard one to put in place because so many people, you know, like I'm married, I have a husband, and he does not work in the Sisters Enchanted. And so having to say, listen, you're not in there day in and day out. You don't get a seat at the table. I didn't ask for advice or opinion on this. It was a learned skill for me. And so it applies to so many areas of life too. Like I just had, I have a really heavy menstrual cycle, and I made a decision to try something to try to like lighten that and help my body out a little bit. And suddenly like everybody comes in, my loved ones, my relatives, you know, friends, like everyone's got something to say about it. And I was like, you don't live in my body. Tis not your uterus. Tis my uterus. I am going to do this. And I didn't ask for advice or an opinion on the matter. So they're not playing your game. You don't have to listen to what someone's saying to you. All right, let's see here. The next one, I think I might have more than 10 because this is number five. All right, number five, visibility, being visible, being seen in the world can be a bitch, plain and simple. Why do I share this as a lesson that I've learned? Because I think that if you are struggling with your authenticity for telling people like I love tarot and astrology, for maybe wearing the funky dress to work, or for, I don't know, telling your partner something that you've only ever thought in your head but never like wanted to say out loud, showing up and being visible, you might see people doing it, like you see me on camera and think like, oh, I wish it was easier for me like it is for them. You know what? I don't think it's easy for anybody. I think that it's challenging no matter what. And so I share that as a lesson learned because there's areas where we just keep waiting for it to get easier. And sometimes it's just not going to get easier. Like it doesn't really get easier for me to be myself on camera, to talk to people. In some sense, it gets easier because I know how to do the technology better. I teach the same things I've been teaching for 8 years for the most part. So like I'm an authority in the knowledge. Like I know the knowledge is there. So I don't have to like work at that. But when it comes to navigating maybe a snarky comment or somebody like giving me an angry face while I'm talking live, or just feeling like I said something wrong, or like maybe I said something that hurt somebody, that element, it doesn't really go away. You just get better at managing it. So I share this as a lesson because so many people will constrict their receiving, their abundance energy, hold themselves back in life from showing up greater in the workplace or in their home life or with friends and family or with a new hobby or like going to a group to join some, activity group or something because they aren't ready. They feel like, oh, I don't look the right way. I don't have the right clothes. I just don't know yet. I'm not ready. And I'm sharing this because that visibility part, there's not really a ready. I think that it's a trust fall into the unknown, right? So I share that as a lesson learned because being visible, showing up in the world, it can just be sucky. And there's no way around that, I don't think. All right. Number six. This is a common saying, fortune favors the bold. I will say that is true. 10 years has taught me fortune certainly does favor the bold. So taking that risk, showing up, being visible, going to the group, the new knitting club or the hiking club, or, you know, sitting with somebody new at lunch at work, so you make a new connection. Those bold actions, those are where we find unexpected paths, unexpected doors we didn't know were there. So taking bold actions, it is very true. Fortune does favor the bold. If we keep doing the same old things, we're going to have the same old outcomes in our life, which can be fine if that's what you want. But if you're looking to expand your abundance energy, expand some area of your life, fortune really does favor the bold. All right. Number seven, trust yourself. Trust yourself fully. This piggybacks on much of what I've already said, particularly like this taking advice from people who aren't in your game with you. You've got to trust yourself because the whole world will tell you not to. The whole entire world will tell you not to trust yourself, whether on purpose or by accident. People will question you. They will give you the unsolicited advice. You'll see something on the internet that makes you scared. You will see somebody's horror story about something. You will constantly be bombarded with things that make you question your sanity and whether or not you're doing the right things. So learning to trust yourself and really trust yourself fully, that doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. Don't mistake that with like, oh, I'm always going to make the right choices. But trust yourself to be wise enough to course correct. Trust yourself to know when, oh, I went down a wrong path, or maybe this isn't right and I'm going to backpedal. Just trust yourself the same way that you would trust other people in your life. If there's somebody you always go to when you need like that support, or you know that's the person you can call, trust yourself in the same way that you trust them. All right, number eight, shame, guilt, negative feelings around money. So You gotta learn to let that go. You gotta learn to let that go. One thing that I see with women in particular is that we feel very guilty when we have money, when we have a sum of money. We feel guilty feeling like we're taking money from people. We feel guilty asking for money from people. And I know as a person, as a woman who has been self-employed for 10 years, that folks will definitely make you feel a certain way when it comes to money. And remember, this is sort of like that other people's feedback, kind of. If somebody says like, oh, well, could you spend that much money on a dress? Or how could you charge that much? How could you ask for that raise? How could you ask your hardworking spouse to buy you that thing? People will have feedback. And you can say, I didn't ask for that feedback. I'm not open to that feedback right now. You can do that. And there's a weird thing that happens with women and money where other women in particular get really weird about your money. So mind your own wallet is what I would say. Mind your own bank account. But really work on those feelings of like that it's shameful or it's, not proper for a woman to have money, to understand money, to invest money, that it's somehow bad that you have money and that you've received that money in exchange for whatever, like a job that you've done. That's a big one though. I don't know. I'm not articulating the lesson there well, but the shame and the guilt around money, around collecting money, receiving money, asking for money, spending money on things that just make you happy just because there's so much shame and guilt that comes with that. And the sooner that you can call it what it is, shame and guilt that's coming from societal norms and expectations, the sooner that you can reconcile that with yourself and just move, take an action and move forward, the better off you're going to be. Because it is one that I find for self-employed women in particular, which I know is not most of you, it is the thing that will make them sink or swim. If they recoil when they have to ask somebody to pay for something, or when somebody says something like, how dare you charge for this? Or like you're charging too much, or they start to question what you're spending money on once you've earned it. That is like, it's a pivotal moment for nearly every female business owner that I have met that I've seen sink or swim. It's that moment in time. So really coming to grips with that shame and guilt around money is going to help you a lot in every area of your life, whether it's more freedom of expression, not being bothered by what other people do with their money, not feeling like you're bad because of a financial decision that you've made, just really tending to those stories. All right, I've got two more for you. Number 9. Oh, these are, I think, my two favorite, these last two. So number 9, balance. I will say that I think balance in action is a myth. Balance in emotion or feeling is not. So what do I mean by that? So many people tell me they want more balance in their life. And I think when they want more balance, they're feeling overwhelmed, chaotic, like they can't focus. There's too much going on. I'm a firm believer. I work full time. I own a thriving company. I help care for my grandfather with dementia. I homeschool my 2 neurodivergent kids. I'm a very, very busy person and I travel a lot and I have time for a lot of fun stuff. Like I'm very good at spending my time the way I want to spend it. But my time is never in balance. Like I am usually hyper-focused on work or I'm hyper-focused on the kids. There's not really so I'm going to spend 4 hours working, 4 hours with my kids, 4 hours with my family, 4 hours with myself, and now everything's in balance. No, I think of just science, right? If you roll a ball down a ramp, that ball is rolling, 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 and it's not in balance. It's moving until it stops. And then now it's doing that. There's not like a balance of action that can happen because whenever you're taking an action, you're all in on that action. And I think that that's where the myth comes in, is that we are trying to balance everything in our minds. Like we're trying to be at work, but we're feeling guilty about our home life. We're trying to be home, but we're worried about money and we should be working harder. Or like, you know, now you're retired and you feel guilty because you should be doing all these hobbies or should have cleaned out this room by now. And so all of this inner dialogue that we have, that is what perpetuates this desire for a balanced physical plane life, which isn't really something you can do because you can only do one thing at a time. So, you can only do one thing at a time. So being present in the one thing that you're doing is where we start to expand our energy at that moment in time and really like time bend and feel like there's infinite resources available to us in that time. So when you're at work, you're present there. And that's just where you're all in. When you're home, you're present there and you're all in there. When you're working on your hobby, you're present there and you're all in there. And letting go of this idea that you're going to find balance in your physical world, but balance in your emotional self, balance in your feelings, I don't think that's a myth. And that comes from all of this other work that I've talked about, like releasing shame and guilt around spending time with yourself instead of with your family, or saying no to the big family holiday because it makes you feel miserable and you just want to stay home and be with your small family, your chosen family. It's this neutrality of emotion that I think is really what we need. Neutrality of emotion, neutrality of being, expectations, outcomes, and then that leads to feeling more balanced in our physical world. But I think people chase balance in their physical world and just get more unbalanced in their thoughts and their energy. And all that does is cause more chaos energy. So you're over here doing all this stuff to try to have like manifest more money and create this abundant life and, you know, work on your health and fitness. And it all feels hard and like you're getting nowhere. And I think it's because we need to reverse it. Instead of looking for balance in the physical world, look for balance in the internal world. And then the physical world will feel less chaotic. All right, my last one, number 10, and my 10 lessons learned from 10 years of self-employment. And this is a doozy. So hold on to your hats. This one's going to hit hard. And I even like hesitate to say it, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to be visible and I'm going to say it. You all know you're going to die one day, right? Everyone knows that. We all know that. I know that. We will not live forever. And so all of the things that you are holding yourself back from doing, one day, no one will remember you. One day, nobody will care what you did. One day, these people that are being naysayers, they will lay on their deathbed full of regrets and naysaying, and you have the choice to join them or not. That's always a choice that you have, to join them or not. And one day, it will all come to an end. And what will all of this have meant to you? What will all of this shame, guilt, holding yourself back have been for? Who will it have served? Nobody. And actually, it will leave that generational tie to the people who see you doing it, so they keep doing it. You have the choice to expand, try things, take risks, have fun, bask in the glory of delight and joy and abundance and magic. You can leave your tarot cards out on your table when your Christian parents come over. You can, I don't know, wear the dress you never thought you'd wear. You can say the thing you never thought you'd say. Of course, only if somebody's asking for feedback. Don't be that person. You can do those things, right? And remember that. That is like the biggest thing. There were times in these 10 years, I would say the first, oh gosh, so probably the first eight years. Okay, I've been self-employed. Yeah, for 10 years, 8 years, Sisters Enchanted. So probably the first 8 years, I was always so worried about outcome and so worried about getting to things and getting to them quickly and like being like the best and serving other people's expectations of me and how they thought I should be. Very reactionary, right? Very reactionary. And I was happy. My life is good. And I grew each and every year, but there was always this underlying stress, this underlying, like, I should be doing something else, or I didn't do enough. There's not enough here. And when I just really looked at myself one day and said, you know what? That email can wait. The email can wait. Buy the dress, go for the walk, instead of like crunching out one more thing, instead of making your kids, you know, learn math that they're mad about and crying about right now, go to the skate park, do the thing. When I looked in the mirror and was like, who is this? Who's going to remember this 5 years from now? Nobody. And having that realization and that, like, really, I think we know it, but knowing it on a deep level, it released me from so much that was holding me back and just making me feel so heavy each and every day. So that's my 10th one. It's a big one for you. Some of you are not liking that. I know. I'm sorry. And also not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. But those are my 10 lessons. So really, if I had to distill it down, mind your own business. Don't mind other people's business either. You mind your business. They mind their business. It's okay to tell people to mind their business. Deal with your stuff. Deal with your shame, guilt, feelings. Because if you don't, then all of the candles, tarot, manifesting, crystals, full moons, new moons in the world cannot remove that from you. You cannot make people do things that they're not ready to do. That's another one. And balance. Balance in the physical world is a myth. Balance and energy and feeling and emotion is not. Start there. The rest will come. All right. 10 lessons from 10 years of self-employment. Thank you so much for being part of that journey. I'm really proud to say that we, as a small business, most female-owned businesses don't even last as long as the Sisters Enchanted has been around. And our revenue generated over the years far surpasses what 95% of female-owned businesses will ever earn. And, I think really leaning into the things we teach here, the lessons that we teach in Holistic Witchery, like that's literally what I do. Holistic Witchery is the toolkit. And I think it's the leg up that I've had all along. Anyway, all right. Well, join us in Mend Your Money Stories, because money really is connected to everything in your life. You take someone to dinner, that's a monetary exchange. You have to buy food for your family. You got to pay for your clothes. You got to pay for the electricity. You got to leave your family or your loved ones or your friends to go receive money or earn money. Like, money is embedded in everything we do. So when we start to mend those money stories, we can start to feel more whole and enough and worthy and just who we are. So join us for that free class that starts May 20th. I hope to see you there. Again, thank you for being part of the Sisters Enchanted community. And until next time, I hope that you have an enchanted rest of your day ahead. If you love the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. That helps us to get the word out about all we're doing here at the Sisters Enchanted. Thanks for being part of our community, and we'll see you in the next episode.